Hey, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Toluca Lake on July 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we continue with our current sermon series, Living a Meaningful Life, with a message from Pastor Mark called Don't Make Assumptions. Let's listen in.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. Yeah, good to see you. What a wonderful time for us all to be together here at Harmony Toluca Lake, this faith community in which we are praising God. Amen. Yes, indeed. Those here in the sanctuary, those connecting with us online, hello. And to those listening to the Sunday Replay podcast. Well, this morning we continue our current sermon series, Living a Meaningful Life. And this is where we are leaning on a foundational understanding that we are blessed, abundantly blessed, that we receive this through the Bible. But we're also in this series incorporating spiritual insights from that have been shared by author Don Miguel Ruiz. And he's done this in two books, and one is called The Four Agreements, and the other one is The Fifth Agreement. Well, thus far, we've covered two of the five agreements, so we started out this series with Be Impeccable with Your Word. And then last week, we had the joy of Reverend Dr. Galen Gobin, and he shared Don't Take Anything Personally. Well, today, we turn our attention to the third agreement, Don't Make Assumptions, which Don Miguel Ruiz, he drew inspiration when he immersed himself in the living tradition of ancient Toltec wisdom. All right, so I am wearing a Dodgers shirt. All right, so what assumptions can you make of me as a person wearing a Dodgers shirt? What assumptions? Just throw them out there.
Love the Dodgers.
Ran out of shirts. I love that, Beth. That was a great one. What else? Any other assumptions?
Going to the game after the church.
I like baseball. Anything else? Someone in the room gave me the shirt. So we're making assumptions. Okay, so here we go. I'm now going to put on a second shirt. Give me just a second. What assumptions do you make about me now?
Misguided.
Yes, what? I'm from Texas.
I like baseball.
I like baseball. Someone gave me that.
Or
Christine said it's time to do laundry. I love it. Yes, yeah, so assumptions can be made, right? All right, so Chris is going to come up, and he's going to stand over there at the podium just real quick, and he's got a little bit that we're going to do. All right, so you ready, Chris? Here we go. So just stand at the podium. We want you to be heard on the mic. All right, so you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go.
I don't know what to say. Oh, hey, Mark. Hey.
All right, what assumptions can you make about me now?
You're grumpy.
Grumpy, distracted,
busy,
don't want to be bothered.
Having a bad day.
Having a bad day, right? So, what was that?
Don't feel well.
I don't feel well, right? So, do you think that I was trying to slight him?
Maybe.
That could be an assumption, right? Thank you, Chris. Hi, by the way. So, now, were all of our assumptions spot on?
No,
they were not. And do you actually know what the truth is behind the person that's wearing the shirts?
No.
Do you know what was happening here? Absolute truth going on? No. But sometimes we do the very same thing by the people that walk across our paths. Sometimes we do the same thing, Lord Jesus help me, when we're on the freeway and someone cuts right in front of us, yes? I'm going to make some assumptions. Well, we aren't privy to the immediate insight of what's going on for that person or what's in their heads, and so we're making assumptions that what happens, oh Lord, what happens is we've just turned up the gas to bring on the heat of angst and anxiety. Well, Don McGill, what he does is he states in his book, and I really like this a lot, and he wisely reminds us, the problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they are real. We make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. And this goes for us making assumptions about others and even making assumptions about ourselves. The wisdom of this third agreement, don't make assumptions, aligns perfectly with the centering scripture passage that we heard earlier today from the gospel according to Luke chapter 19 verses 1 through 10. And I want to thank Micah for that, because there we have an encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Now, I love this story. It's a powerful story. And we're told Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. That's what we hear in the story. He's a chief tax collector. We know that he's in Jericho, and we know he's very wealthy. Well, tax collectors, just so you know, tax collectors were responsible for collecting various, I would say, forms of taxes from their fellow Jews, the local population. And we're talking about taxes like custom duty, tolls, property taxes. Now, how do you think that went over well with the population? You think they were like, woo, glad to hand over the money? No. Then these tax collectors were often disliked because they were seen as collaborators with Rome, and Rome was occupying the territory, their land. But now, hey, Zacchaeus, he wasn't any old tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. Ooh, that meant he had more authority and influence than these little old regular tax collectors. He would have been in charge of a whole district network of tax collectors. And his position, what it did was it allowed him greater potential for corruption and for getting some money, manipulating that on into his pocket. Oh, yes, indeed, the minions, they would have been under Zacchaeus and they would have been disliked. But Zacchaeus, oh no, he would have been considered despicable. Well, as the story unfolds, and Jesus, he enters into Jericho. And Zacchaeus, for some reason, we don't know why, but Zacchaeus finds this out. And he has this deep desire that he wants to see Jesus. Now, but how's that going to happen, though? Because the crowds are starting to gather onto the road, and it's a large crowd, and he is not exactly Mr. Popular either, right? But so he's like, ooh, if I go out into that crowd, I'm going to probably get beaten up because they really don't like me. And also, he's short in stature, so, you know, doing this is not going to exactly work too well for him, is it? And so what he does is he climbs up a sycamore fig tree. That's what he's figuring out. That's what I'm going to do. So what he does is he lets go of any sense of privilege that he has, and he climbs up that tree to get a better view. So Jesus passes by, and he looks up that sycamore fig tree, and he sees the chief tax collector there, and he would have known him, interestingly enough, because he calls him by his name, Zacchaeus, and he says, Zacchaeus, hey, come down. Come down immediately from that tree, because you know what? I want to stay at your house tonight. That good with you? And the chief tax collector, I'm sure everybody around is going, what did we just hear? Got to clean out my ears. But Zacchaeus is like, oh, I just heard exactly what he said. And he scurries on down that tree because he's excited. And he welcomes Jesus with joy. There you go. And what's the response from the crowd, though, when they see this happen? Unlike Harmony, they're like, yeah, right? They're like, ooh, and they're grumbling. And they say, he's gone to be the guest of this sinner. Ugh. And just when you think all the wows and the woes are over by this time, Zacchaeus is so moved by this moment in time, this encounter with Jesus, that he promises to give half of his possessions to the marginalized, and on top of that, repay anyone that he has cheated 4 times the amount. Wow. And it is in this moment, friends, in this moment that Jesus makes something very clear. he states that Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham, and that has significant meaning. He didn't say it just for Zacchaeus, which is important, but he said it for everybody else to hear and to understand, because it underscores the inclusive and the redemptive nature of Jesus' mission in he is to seek and to save the lost. Now, friends, when we consider this story, do you think assumptions were being made? Because let's all jump on the assumption train. Let's get on the assumption train. Let's do some assuming. And let's look at Zacchaeus, and we could probably assume, oh, you know what? He's greedy. He's greedy, greedy, greedy. Or, he prioritizes those Romans over his own people. Down with Zacchaeus. Or you might be thinking and assuming that he's compromising that his religious values over material gain. We could be assuming that, he's really lost his mind because he's climbing up a tree and it's just for pure spectacle. That's all it is. It's just pure spectacle. He wants to be seen. That's a desperate act by a desperate man. Boo, Zacchaeus. Or we could even assume that this is a man who is a sinner, and he is a sinner beyond redemption. Now, these assumptions, friends, what they could have done is easily led Zacchaeus into being ostracized, in being rejected, and that perpetuates a cycle of sin and isolation. I want to point out, though, that Zacchaeus, he isn't all on his lonesome here with the assumptions being made by others that he's bad, that he's evil, that he's unworthy. In the Bible, we have a lot of examples, such as Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite prostitute in the very city of Jericho, and yet she demonstrated her faith. By how? She demonstrated her faith in God by hiding the Israelite spies and helping them escape. We have Matthew. Matthew's one of the 12 disciples. And what was his job before he became a disciple? He was a tax collector. Boo. He got Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Poor Mary Magdalene. This is one of Jesus' most devoted followers. And what happens is she's mistakenly assumed to have been a former prostitute or a woman of ill repute. And I'm going to ask you, does the Bible actually say that?
No.
No, it does not. And then I'm just going to throw one more in, the Apostle Paul. He would have been in the assumption category because he was a zealous Pharisee and he was persecuting Christians. Look how that turned out. Do you think maybe Zacchaeus was making assumptions about himself? Now, prior to meeting Jesus, he might have assumed that he couldn't change due to societal rejection, due to financial entanglements, personal identity issues, perceived religious or moral barriers. Do you think they were making some assumptions about Jesus in all this? By choosing to stay with Zacchaeus, the assumption would have been something like we find and said in Luke chapter 7, verse 34. Look, oh, goodness gracious, that's a glutton and a drunkard. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. How sad. How sad. All these assumptions, the ones we make about others, the ones we make about ourselves, that lead to misunderstandings and conflict and suffering. Faith community, when we make assumptions, we aren't seeing individuals as they truly are. What we're doing is we're seeing through a lens of prejudice, our own prejudices, and our own incomplete information. And what this does is it prevents genuine connection. It prevents compassion. One of the things that I love, love, love about this story is we witness Jesus not making assumptions. He saw beyond Zacchaeus' occupation and beyond Zacchaeus' reputation. Jesus saw someone that's yearning to change his life. He saw a person who was lost and needed to be found. And by choosing to stay at Zacchaeus' house, Jesus demonstrated radical acceptance and love. He broke through the barriers of judgments and assumptions, thereby highlighting the themes of grace and the themes of redemption and transformative power of genuine faith and repentance. As humans, as humans, our imagination, oh, Lord have mercy, it can run far and wide, can't it? Just go all over the place. And we can come up with some doozies. And then what we do is we start imagining what other people are doing, what they're saying about us. Oh my goodness, and what folks are thinking. And then we just dream it up, and we dream it up big. We don't dream it up small. We're going to just take the assumptions. This is going to fly all over the place. And what we do is then we invent an entire scenario that in actuality is only the truth for us. Yet, we believe it. Why? Because it fulfills our need to know. We want to know. And like I said, we just run with it. And run with it. You know, there's a great quote by Henry Winkler, and he states it well. Assumptions are the termites of relationships. Assumptions are the termites of relationships. One assumption leads to another assumption, and it just starts tearing it down. And what we start doing is we jump to conclusions, and we suddenly take our story, the one we've imagined very personally, and then acting on this, what we do is we move into the blame game, and then what that leads us is into the gossip section, and on, the maddening circle just keeps on of hell goes and goes, and where it stops, who knows? A lot of the time, what we do is we fall into a trap. We fall into the trap of thinking everyone sees life exactly the way we see it. Stop the presses. Stop right there, because that is not the truth. Everyone sees the world through their own unique way. Everyone. And if we don't communicate with someone else about how each of us has seen the world, it's going to create misunderstandings. As Don Miguel points out, if we don't make assumptions, we can focus our attention on the truth, not on what we think is the truth. Then we see life the way it is, not the way we want to see it. And as we shall see, when we don't believe our own assumptions, the power of our belief that we invested in then returns to us. And when we recover all that energy that we invested in making assumptions, we can use that energy to create a new dream, our personal heaven. So, how can we apply this scripture passage from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, and what Don Miguel Ruiz writes about in his books? One, see beyond appearances. Like Jesus, friends, let us strive to see beyond the surface. Everyone that we encounter has a story. Everyone we encounter has a struggle. And everyone has the potential for change. Number two is seek understanding. When faced with a situation or a person we don't fully understand, let's seek to learn more about them. Let's seek to learn more about their situation, what they're going through, before forming conclusions. Instead of assuming, ask questions. And let's listen and let's be patient. What this does is it fosters much more a genuine connection with that person. And it reduces misunderstandings. Number three is practice forgiveness and care and grace. And Lord knows that's hard to do. But just as Jesus extended grace to Zacchaeus, we too should offer forgiveness and understanding to those who may have wronged us or others. Holding on to assumptions and grudges, all that does is it perpetuates pain and division. And number four is reflect on our assumptions. I want us all, me included, to take time to reflect on the assumptions that we are making about others as well as the ones we're making about ourselves. Challenge these assumptions and replace them with a mindset of curiosity and compassion. So, Faith Community, I'm going to be bringing this message to a close as Rev. Jefferson comes forward to lead us in a guided meditation. The story of Zacchaeus and the wisdom of Don Miguel Ruiz remind us of the transformative power of not making assumptions. When we follow Jesus' example and see others through the eyes of love and understanding, what we do is we open a door, and we open that door, and it is for healing. It is for reconciliation, and it is for profound change in our lives. So let's commit to breaking free from the chains of assumptions and to embrace a life of empathy and grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It's halftime, and that means I get to share a little bit about the upcoming events here at Harmony. This Sunday is your last chance to drop off donations for Sherman Indian High School. They are still in need of snacks, school supplies, and personal items like beach towels, XL twin comforters, and hygiene products. Next up, it's the annual all-church picnic. After worship service on Sunday, August 7th, the annual church barbecue picnic for both campuses will be held at the Hollywood campus. This year, we're also combining the picnic with the Children's Water Day as we bring the kids' water slide back for some summertime fun. Bring a friend, invite a neighbor, or a new family to enjoy this event. And lastly, we will be working towards our goal of raising $200 for the Hollywood Food Coalition by the end of August. Check the e-news for more information on this and all the upcoming events at Harmony and HUMC. Now, for the rest of our episode today, let's enjoy a few songs from Gaddison and the Worship Band.
To hold
fails. I put my faith in you. Yeah. All our troubles and all our tears, God, our hope, He has overcome all our failures, all our fears. God, our love, He has overcome all our heartache and all our pain. God, our healer.
Come on, declare it. He has overcome.
He has overcome all our burdens and all our shame. God, our freedom, yeah, He has overcome all our troubles and all our tears. And God, our hope,
oh yeah,
He has overcome all our failures and justice, and God our grace, God our freedom, yeah, He has overcome, God our refuge, and God our strength, God is with us, and He has overcome.
Take heart, let His love lead us through the night. Oh, no, no. Just hold on to hope and take courage again. Oh, again. As I walk through the valley of darkness and shadows, even in death I will not fear, because there's more that follows. You follow. We have hope
in Jesus, a present help, Redeemer.
As long as I am
still breathing,
there is hope. Oh, yes, there is.
In Jesus.
Jesus, lift up your head. Listen.
And we are pressed on every side, but we won't be shaken.
Oh no, we won't. Oh no, we won't, yeah.
And come what will, and come what may, see, we are not forsaken.
Forsaken, 'cause we have hope
in Jesus,
a present.
There is hope. There is hope. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope in love. Love wins. We put our hope in love.
Hope in Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Forever present hope.
Listen to me. No, he has never failed. He has never failed. So why would I doubt him? Oh, what a present help. God has never failed. Ah, come on, somebody. So why would doubt him? Say no. Come on. He has never failed. Oh, come on, declare it out. He has never failed.
Why would I doubt him? Oh,
and what a present help.
He has never failed. To hope, and we say that love, oh, love has never failed, and so we will never doubt in the power of love. We love you. We give you our heart, our mind, and our soul, our passion. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody say amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Pastor Mark Stevenson and Gaddison and the Harmony Worship Band. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue to produce content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tooloola Lake is the second campus. Join us next week for a special appearance by our new co-senior pastor, Reverend Hannah Adair Bonner, and her message, Love Over Fear. You won't want to miss it. And as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.